Yeah. We know medical care requires informed consent, but laws require informed consent. Politics, entrepreneurship, how you engage in your diet, health, exercise, even relationships. These all require a place of being informed. And I am so sick of being called a conspiracy theorist for using my brain and being informed. So that's how this podcast came to life. This is Informed Consent. I'm your host, Brooke Bocci. Let's start talking. Convenience. It is something that is becoming so prevalent, especially in the American culture. And yet, in my opinion, convenience is what is destroying our health. We have become a society that loves comfort, that loves that things are just so easily at their fingertips. We are living in the day and age of DoorDash, of Ubering, of getting groceries delivered to our home, of online shopping, and everything just being at the touch of our fingers. When I sit there and think of why Ubering is convenient, I've never been in a big city with taxis, but how much easier does touching a couple things on your phone to book a ride seem compared to going outside and having to raise your hand in the air and snap your fingers to get a taxi? Or how easy does it seem to just press a couple buttons on your phone and have something delivered to your home in about 2 days versus having to get out of your home, go to the grocery store, go to a store, maybe try on some clothes, maybe look through some, you know, some shelves to try to find what you need. We are a day and age that really relies and quite frankly depends on convenience. And while I am not one to say that convenience is something that's bad, I do believe there is beautiful parts of convenience. I do believe that for the busy moms or the families that are working full time and have found it just easier to have their groceries delivered to them their house versus going shopping. Yeah, maybe that is something that is going to be beneficial. Or for those who are maybe super sick and need something really, really fast to help their sickness, to just very easily go to Amazon and click buy and purchase and it be at their house potentially that evening. So I share that to say, please don't twist my words into saying that I believe all convenience is what is destroying our health and our overall just society. But I do believe that most things that are creating a convenient habit can be detrimental. And one of those things that I want to talk about specifically today is the microwave. The microwave, in my opinion, is one of the most convenient tools that we have. How easy is it for us to take leftovers and pop it into the microwave for a couple of minutes and boom, we have a warm meal? How easy is it for us to take a sweet potato that normally would take an hour, maybe even an hour and a half to cook in the oven and just put it in the microwave for 5 minutes and boom, you have a soft mashed sweet potato? How easy would it be to just take some leftover coffee and put it in the microwave and you have hot coffee versus taking the time to prep a whole new pot of coffee? Convenience and microwaves go hand in hand. That literally is one of the premises of a microwave. The microwave came well after a stovetop and yet has taken such the place of cooking our foods. And there's so much confliction and back and forth and articles and studies of people saying microwaves are bad. Actually, no, they're not. Microwaves are fine. You know, they've advanced so much that they're safer. And I figured I would give the informed consent on microwaves. And I want to shout out my husband for this one because my husband and I were chatting and we really, really, really declined our microwave use. I actually don't use a microwave at all. And he's pretty much only ever now used a microwave to heat up his coffee. And let me say, that's a huge progression from where we used to be. And he was like, why don't you talk about that? He's like, I know you've told me, but he's like, I'm even myself still curious. Like, I know you say microwaves aren't ideal and can be bad for your health, but he's like, why don't you go into that? So thanks, babe, for the recommendation. Always looking for recommendations, but I want to talk about the microwave. I want to talk about convenience in the microwave and how it can be good, how it can be bad, talk about the history, talk about really all the things. And as I always do, I include all the links in the show notes from any research articles, any studies, anything that I talk about. I feel like that's so important and why I feel that this show has so much more, I don't even want to say value is the right word, but I try to always come from a place of being informed. And obviously my information comes from sources. And so I feel it's important to link those sources and share those with you guys. And yes, I only have so much space in my show notes. So I, you know, don't list every single possible article, every book, everything I've read from, but I try to list the ones that are most valuable and the ones that really do relate and give the information the best. So if you are listening to this and you're especially a new listener and you're just like, where is she talking from? Like, where is all this information coming from? I link it in the show notes so you guys know that I'm not just talking from my head, right? I will be the first to say I am no one special. I am not a doctor. I am not a scientist. I am not a physician. I'm not a physics teacher. I'm literally no one special. I'm just a woman who has a psychology degree that literally does nothing with it, that just has a passion for research. And so take that with it as you will, and take this show with it as you will, but just know that I do my best to list all of the studies and all of the articles that I learn my information from to give you the informed decision and to give you the empowerment to keep researching and to keep asking questions so you yourself can make your own personal informed decision. But before we get into it, I actually want to talk about something that's convenient that I don't think is very bad for you, and that's the convenience of protein powders. One of the biggest deficiencies that humans see, especially females, is protein deficiency. I have said it before and I will say it again. Protein is critical for the functioning of the human body, especially when we talk females and hormones. And unfortunately, in the standard American diet, we are not getting enough protein, especially in the morning. We need to be aiming for at least 30 grams of protein in the morning for breakfast and sustaining that just about at every single meal. And I get it. Eating protein is hard. Getting that protein in is hard. And while I will be the first to say and always admit that getting food from the actual whole food source is the most important and to try to avoid processed foods at all costs, not all processed foods are bad. And one of the processed foods that I actually do consume just about on a daily basis, depending on my nutrient needs, is protein powders. The problem with protein powders is most of the protein powders on the market today is filled with absolute junk and truly is the definition of processed foods. But after so much research and so much learning, I have found that not all protein powders are bad. In fact, there is one protein powder company on the market that not only do I feel is very, very, very clean, it's the least amount of processed that I feel that you can get. And that's because most protein powders are packed with chemicals and fillers claiming that they're healthy and that they're really not. Also, protein powders are not filled with real foods, and it's just blends of honestly, who even knows what it is. And that is why it is so important, if you are going to consume a protein powder, to make sure that not only it's clean, it's organic, and it's not filled with chemicals and fillers, but it comes from the whole food. And that's where I found Equip protein powders. I've actually found this on our journey of going to the carnivore/animal-based diet and finding that a lot of the protein powders, even the ones that I thought were clean, still contain a lot of ingredients that, quite frankly, are unnecessary. Way too much sugar, way too much fillers, way too much preservatives, a huge blend of protein that isn't coming from the real animal-based source. And that's where I found Equip. And Equip is literally grass-fed beef protein powders. I know, guys, it sounds kind of gross, grass-fed beef ground up into a protein powder, but truly, I have never had a better protein powder, let alone with such limited ingredients. Equip Prime Protein Powder is just grass-fed beef isolate powder that literally only includes a maximum of up to 5 ingredients, depending on the flavor that you get. Protein is very, very carefully sourced, third-party tested, real food ingredients with no added chemicals, fillers, binding agents, or artificial coloring or sweeteners. On top of that, the protein contains in one scoop and one serving, 4 ounces of grass-fed beef, which you guys know how important grass-fed versus grain-fed is, giving you a total of 21 grams of protein and absolutely no sugars. They do use stevia in some of their flavors to sweeten up, but they also do have an unflavored that has no stevia and just the grass-fed beef isolate. This protein powder is also gluten-free, dairy-free, soy-free, hormone-free, whey-free, antibiotic-free, artificial flavor-free, and preservative-free. You'd think that this protein powder wouldn't taste that good with the limited ingredients, but let me tell you, we love it in our household. Our favorite flavors is the iced coffee, oh my goodness, and the chocolate. Those are definitely our two favorites, but I'm really excited to start to try the other flavors because this protein powder not only tastes good and satisfies our protein needs, but I don't feel bloated. I don't feel blah. I just don't get that icky feeling that I get from any other processed protein powder. So I'm really excited to have partnered with Equip to provide you guys a discount code off of your order. They have actually given me a code to save you guys 20% off. This is specific to my podcast and for my podcast listeners, which is so incredibly exciting. So to use that 20% off code to take off of any one-time purchase, you can simply go to equipfoods.com/Brooke20, or you could just simply go to equipfoods.com and use code Brooke20 at checkout. And I would also still add Brooke20 at checkout if you do go to equipfoods.com/Brooke20 just to ensure that it's showing up. And that will give you 20% off your order. I will include the link in the show notes, but again, that's equipfoods.com/Brooke20 and then use code Brooke20 at checkout to save you 20% off your entire order. So let's first break down the history of the microwave. Let's just kind of really go quickly into a timeline of just where the microwave came from, the history, and all of that. So in 1940, physics John Randall and Harry Boot invented the cavity magnetron tube, the core component of a microwave, at Birmingham University in England. The cavity magnetron tube was used to detect enemy aircraft and ships during World War II. In 1945, American engineer Percy Spencer notices that a candy bar was melting in his pocket while operating the magnetron tube and experiments further with corn kennels, and then files the first patent for a rough version of the modern microwave. In 1946, the first commercial microwave, the Rad-a-Range, is sold by Raytheon to restaurants, large canteens, and ships' galleys. It was nearly 6 feet tall. It weighed more than 750 pounds, and it used about 3,000 watts of power and sold for roughly $5,000. And now I don't totally know the conversion, but 1946, $5,000 is a lot of money. 1967, the first microwave for residential use comes to market. The countertop microwave sold by Amana used 115 watts of power and costed just under $500 at that time. In 1970s, microwave parts become cheaper and technological improvements have reduced the cost of residential microwaves, leading to a surge of microwave purchases. In 1986, statistics indicate that 25% of all American households now own a microwave. And in 1997, statistics indicate that 90% of all American households own a microwave oven. So again, the microwave actually was originally made for something different. The tube The magnetron tube, that was, again, the essentially core part of the microwave, the core technology of it, was originally used to emit radar signals that could detect enemy aircraft and ships during World War II. But again, as I shared in 1945, that's when the American engineer Percy Spencer actually discovered that it has a capacity of quickly heating up foods. The microwave really truly did become popular as parts became cheaper, as the product in itself became much, much cheaper because of all the technological advances that really truly not only brought the prices down, but really just triggered that surge of microwave purchases throughout the country. Now, modern microwaves are available in different variety of sizes, configurations, power levels, feature sets. For instance, some have like grill mode, steam mode, air fry mode, defrost features, timers, convection cooking, smart technology. I mean, the list goes on of what microwaves are able to do today. And it truly is amazing, just with all technology, how much things can advance. How much technology advances. I think that is something that it is truly so amazing to look and just see where technology has gone and what it's been able to do. But unfortunately, with technology advancements, doesn't always mean positive feedback, positive advances, so to speak, on one's health. I think to know how it affects your health, I think we really just have to dive into really truly how a microwave works. So again, microwave ovens have an electron tube called the magnetron that produces microwaves inside. The microwaves are reflected in the metal inside of the oven and absorbed by the food. Microwaves make water molecules in your food vibrate, which produces the heat that cooks the food. That is why foods with high water content like vegetables can be cooked much quicker. Microwaves are a type of electromagnetic radiation. That means that the waves of electrical and magnetic energy are moving through space together. Now here is where the conflicting evidence comes in. If you are just to do a standard search in Google, the first few links that you're going to find are probably going to be defending microwaves and are going to be telling you that microwaves are safe. You know, I just doing a super easy search, and the very first thing that popped up for me was a WebMD study. And the WebMD is the FDA that has a Center for Diseases and Radiological Health that performs standards for electronic products to ensure radiation emissions aren't a hazard to the public. And they basically performed studies and showed that microwave ovens are perfectly safe. And now that's going to be up to you to either trust what the FDA is sharing or not. I personally have seen some of the things that the FDA has allowed and that the FDA has deemed safe. And I've also seen things that the FDA has deemed unsafe. And I personally, for my research, don't trust everything the FDA says. For example, there is 4 notorious carcinogens that the FDA has approved to be in our food. For example, we have benzene, TCE, methylene chloride, and ethylene dichloride. These are all chemicals that are approved by the FDA that have links to cancer in humans. Benzene is known to cause cancer in humans since 1980. Benzene causes leukemia in humans and is also associated with other cancers such as lymphomas or other blood cancers, for example. Benzene is used in beer production and other supplements. TCE, known to be very carcinogenic to humans as it's allowed in decaffeinated coffee. You've got trichloroethylene, which is the TCE. This is carcinogenic to humans, and it's allowed in decaffeinated coffee. It is known to cause kidney cancer and other liver-type cancers in humans. The methylene chloride is linked to be carcinogenic to humans, as it's allowed in decaffeinated coffee, certain extracts and spices used as food and other color alternatives, ink, and different poppy type extracts. And this is reasonably anticipated to be a human carcinogen. And then the last one that I just want to note, and this, there's so many other ones. We could talk about Red 40. We could talk about, you know, different food dyes that the FDA has deemed safe. But I'm just trying to give you guys examples of kind of how my mind works. When we do a quick Google search and see if microwaves are healthy for us, we see, oh yeah, the FDA has deemed them safe. So everything's fine. All these are debunked. But then I think you dig deeper. And that's where I think the informed consent comes in. Just because the FDA or just because someone deems something safe doesn't necessarily mean that it is. And I want to jump to some of the things that I have found. One of the things that I want to talk about with microwaves that I think is so important is microwaves do emit radiation. There is some animal studies that do show that consuming food that has been microwaved can alter the biochemical parameters. Using microwaves can result in a reduction of white and red blood cells and can lower antioxidant enzyme activity, ultimately resulting in possible degenerative diseases. Voltage-gated calcium channels, also known as VGCCs, are activated by microwaves. What these channels do is they create free radicals, which damages our DNA and causes mitochondrial dysfunction. And if you know anything about mitochondrial dysfunction or the mitochondria in general, it is the root cause of so many chronic illnesses. When we look at the mitochondria and look at damage that's done to the mitochondria, you will actually find that very, very present in many, many chronic illnesses. So it just makes you wonder if this is something that is happening with microwave usage and the channels, and again, the free radicals that are created through just simply clicking the start button, what could be the connections between that and these diseases? I want to share with you guys actually some findings that were from a case between Herzl and Switzerland back in August of 1998, actually August 25th to be exact. And kind of a brief summary of what I found in this case was just astonishing. So microwave cooking causes a violent change to our foods. As we know, microwave cooking happens so incredibly fast, and that's the reason why we want to use it, right? But what happens is new forms of life is essentially created called radiolytic compounds, which causes deterioration in your blood and your immune system. Two researchers confirmed that microwave cooking significantly changes food nutrients. There's a lot of people that will say, no, that's not the truth. That's not actually what happens. But according to this study, according to this court case, two specific researchers, Hertel, who worked at the major Swiss food company, he was actually one of the researchers, and he was fired from his job for questioning procedures and processing food because they denatured it. Blank was the other researcher. He worked at the Swiss Federal Institute of Biochemistry and the University Institute for Biochem. Basically, what they did is they took blood samples after eating microwave food, and they found hemoglobin levels decreased, the number of leukocytes increased after eating microwave food, and cholesterol levels increased. So just to reiterate, blood samples were taken from these two researchers and studies that they did from those who had just consumed microwave food, and they found an increased cholesterol, increased levels of white blood cell counts, a decreased red blood cell count intake, a decreased number of red blood cells, and caused a production of radiolytic compounds, which is compounds that are unknown in nature. This exact study also found a connection between cancer and microwaves. This is where things get a little controversial because, again, you're going to have the FDA, Harvard, these like very, very well-known groups saying, oh no, this doesn't happen. But you dig deeper and you find studies like this. And continuing on, so Hertel, one of the other researchers, he concluded that the food damaged from microwaving modifies the cellular activity in the human consumers of that food. One's cells are forced by the damaged cells and radiolytic compounds to adapt into an emergency mode of cell production. The human cells are forced from normal cellular oxidation into the anaerobic energy production of glucose fermentation. This is a cancerous condition. Hertz explains further, the cells are actually broken, thereby neutralizing the electrical potentials, the very life of the cells between the outer and inner sides of cell membranes. Again, a lot of nutritionists will tell you that the microwave oven does not change your food. However, there is proof that it denatures it to some degree because the microwave heats the food from the inside out and not the outside in, which is how food is traditionally been prepared. This can change the food on a cellular level and changes the natural structure of foods. It can affect the red and white blood cells by reducing them. Using the microwave also lessens the antioxidant activity, which in turn results in notable decrease in antioxidant production, and that could, again, lead to degenerative diseases. If you know anything about antioxidant production, antioxidants are so key to fight free radicals in your body. Free radicals in your body cause oxidative stress, and oxidative stress, especially a large presence of it, can cause so much damage to your body and to your cells. We love antioxidants. So when we have a reduction of antioxidants, of course, problems are going to happen. I also want to share with you guys, and I so wish that I could give you guys the visual and let you guys see it, but I'm going to link it in the show notes, and I strongly encourage you to go and listen to it and to watch it. There was actually a chiropractor who did an experiment, something that you could easily do on your own, and basically he took two plants, and in those two plants, he basically just watered those plants, each with different type of water. All he did was he microwaved one water and left one water regular. And that is how he watered his plants every single day. And basically, he does a video every single day of the plants and how it looks. And it is truly mind-blowing as the days go on, getting over 20-some days, the plant that was fed, that was watered with microwaved water is so much smaller, is so much weaker as the one that he's watering with just normal water. And if that isn't just mind-boggling to you to think about what that's actually doing to the human body, I even sit there and think, you know, yes, we could compare in a way these nursery plants, these baby plants that this chiropractor was doing the experiment on, to our babies. How many moms are microwaving their milk or microwaving water to make it warm to then feed their child? I'm not here to diss either, but I just want you guys to think about this. If a plant, if a nursery baby plant is very, very evidently being affected by microwaved water versus regular water, could you only imagine what that's doing to our babies? And speaking on microwaving bottles and baby bottles, some of those bottles can be plastic. And that's a whole nother conversation that we need to talk about, is microwaves and plastic. I am no stranger to talking about plastic and how plastic in general is harmful. But did you know when you microwave with plastic? So let's say you have a leftovers, right? And you're going to put it in Tupperware that's plastic, and that's your lunch, and you pop it in the microwave and heat it up real quick and eat it. Did you know that plastic that is being microwaved can release harmful chemicals into your food and drinks? So you are therefore then consuming even more than you already are from using plastic. You're consuming those toxic chemicals in your plastic just from simply heating. And many plastics contain additives like BPA and phthalates, which are linked to health problems, including obesity, diabetes, reproductive issues like infertility. And when these plastics are heated in the microwave, the chemicals can leach out and contaminate the food, that very food that you are consuming, that your child is consuming, that your husband is consuming. It's crazy to think about. But It's the truth. It's the reality of what happens in the microwave with plastics. So if you are someone who knows the dangers of plastics in itself without even the microwave present, and then you add the layer of the microwave with the plastic, you are consuming that much more toxic ingredients from those plastics, and you are eating or drinking many of those. Going back to the conversation about stripping nutrients and how microwaving does strip the nutrients in foods, I'll link so much larger scale of that article in the show notes for you guys to go through and read. I know we did briefly talk about it, but I just wanted to share just a quick study that was done from Spain that basically studied steamed broccoli versus microwaved broccoli. And this study shows that the antioxidants that were lost in broccoli that was steamed was 11%. But the microwave broccoli lost 97% of their antioxidants just from using the microwave. So tell me that you aren't losing nutrients in foods. Here are studies, this study, studies that I'm going to link in the show notes, left and right, showing how microwaves are stripping the enzymes, the antioxidants, the vitamins from our foods. And not only are we stripping those vitamins, those nutrients, those enzymes, we are also adding so much compounds, so much, again, those channels that is causing free radicals, that's causing so much additional health issues in our body that we would have never experienced if we weren't using the microwave. Yes. Microwaves are convenient. Yes, microwaves are fast. And no, you aren't going to die one day if you use a microwave, especially in a pinch. But going back to my last week's episode where I talked about choosing your hard, choose what is hard and choose what isn't hard. I want to challenge you and ask you, is cooking your food on a stovetop, is reheating your food in the oven hard? Hard to the point that you have to microwave your food. Because I will just say from experience, all I do is I take that chicken breast that I would normally put in the microwave for 2 minutes to heat it up. I put it in a pan, I put it on the stove, I reheat it. 2 minutes in the microwave, 5 minutes on the stove. I don't think that was much harder. Yes, maybe I have to wait a couple more minutes, but knowing how much more I'm protecting my health, I think that's so important. And I think that's what's the dangers of convenience in our society, is we get so hyperfixated on things happening so fast that we don't even really realize that, is it really that much easier? Is it really that much easier? Because I can tell you just from my experience, and this isn't me boasting or this isn't me bragging, I truly, honestly, from my experiences, know that heating up my food on the stove literally maybe takes me another 2 minutes, maybe three, maybe five if I want it like scalding hot. And in the grand scheme of time, 5 minutes is like scrolling 10 reels on Instagram or literally watching the commercials of a TV show. And when you look at it that way, you're almost just like, okay, yeah. So what does this mean? What does all this mean? Am I sitting here telling you to go throw away all your microwaves? That's not what I'm telling you. Again, this show is not me telling you what to do. This show is never me telling you what to do. This show is me giving you the information for you to make the informed decisions on your health and how you are going to live. What we do in our household is we still have a microwave. It literally is only ever used for coffee. Not for me. I don't really drink much coffee, but like I know my husband, especially he's just running around and running fast and he will heat up his coffee. To be completely honest with you, yes, there might be things that are getting added to the coffee, but we sat there and took the pros and the cons. And it's like, okay, coffee doesn't really have health benefits to it. So it's like to strip the nutrients of coffee, like whatever. but we don't heat food in the microwave. We definitely don't put plastic in microwaves. Whenever he heats his coffee up, it's in a glass mug, right? No plastic. He's not going to go take a plastic mug from a coffee that he got from, you know, Starbucks and put it in the microwave and boom, there's all the plastic that's soaking into that coffee. And we're very, very conscious of constantly trying to make a better effort in, you know, maybe prepping the coffee better in the morning or whatever that may be. Again, doesn't mean we're perfect. Doesn't mean that here and there we aren't using a microwave. It happens. But if you can just consciously make those choices of, okay, I have to set my alarm 3 minutes earlier in the morning just so I have more time to heat up the breakfast that I prepped for myself or the, you know, breakfast I prepped for my husband versus putting it in the microwave. When you think about it that way, it just seems so much easier. But again, we get so hyper-fixated on how convenient things are that it's enabled us from doing the things that aren't even hard, but it's enabled us from doing the things that matter and are more important. We sit there and think, oh my gosh, like I've never called a taxi before. Like how, but really truly to go outside and to raise your hand in the air, it's probably going to be there faster than it is if you call an Uber. But we just get so obsessed with the convenience of our cell phones that it's easier. But when you think about it, is it really easier? Maybe, maybe not. But that's the same idea with microwaves. Make better decisions that work for your family is what I'm here to recommend. I feel like it's no brainer that microwaves can't be like healthy for you. It's up to you to decide if they're healthy or unhealthy for your family. Is it going to be healthier for your stress levels if you just use a microwave because you are on the go and you're busy and you got to do it? That's up to you to decide. Is it going to be healthier for you to slow down your life a little bit? I can just say from my life, when I find myself slowing myself down, taking the time to be slow, to not be go, 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 my hormones, my health, everything's thrived. But then when I'm go, 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 I'm stressed. I wake up, I got to go. I got to do this. 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 And then I lay down. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm so stressed. And then you can't fall asleep because you're thinking about all the things that you did and then didn't do. But I love to choose the things that forces me to slow down. There's a reason why sourdough is trending right now. And for good reason. Sourdough isn't just new. It's been around for hundreds of years. But I think that people are starting to realize that this fast-paced life is not for them. Look at all the health issues we're having. We're all trying to slow down. And sourdough is one of those things that forces you to slow down. Cooking your food on stoves is one of the things that forces you to slow down versus just putting it in the microwave. So use the microwave, don't use the microwave. Quite frankly, I don't care what you do, but I hope you care what you do. I hope you take the information and I hope that you make the decisions of what's going to work for you. Because I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm just here to give you some information. And no, is this all the information? Absolutely not. Is there probably more information out there saying why microwaves are good for you? Yeah, for sure. I'm just one who likes to keep digging. So I just shared some articles and some statements and some facts that have been studied in some literal studies. And you can make that decision from there. So thank you for listening to another episode of Informed Consent. Next week, I've got a very, very special episode in honor of a very important week, especially that's very near and dear to my heart. So please stay tuned for next week. Every single Wednesday, new episodes go live. Wednesday morning, always with you guys. So see you then.